Our Father, tonight we pray in Jesus' name, thy will to be done in all our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this opportune time that we have to serve. And as we think about eternity, Lord, we know that each one of us someday will face God. Help us, Lord, tonight to do thy will, we pray.
Amen.
You know, I found this scripture just before the service concerning the publishing of the newspaper articles. And I thought of Brother Kincaid when I read it. It's Mark 13:10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations.
Amen.
And so that's what this fellowship is trying to do.
Amen.
In the leadership of this pastor. And I would like to say that I suppose the reason that this meal was so good today for Brother Kincaid, he's been on a 4-day fast. And he made it today. We had chicken for dinner and it was good. He didn't eat. He said he couldn't eat till this afternoon. And he made it through today. And his 40 days was up. He got to eat. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. I think I'll go on the fast when I get home because I need to for several reasons. You know, last night we had storm warnings. I don't know what happened tonight. We're glad you're here.
Amen.
We're glad you're here tonight because if you weren't here, we wouldn't have anything. Sometimes I'm reminded of a fellow who came up to me and he said, I don't like you. And I said, is that right? And he said, that's right. I just don't like you. You know, there are some that like you. Some don't like you. And I said, well, why? He said, well, one reason, you preach too loud and you preach too long. I just don't like you. And he got a hold of me and he just began to shake. And he just kept shaking me. And he said, I think the devil's got a hold of you. And I said, I think so too. So some do like it, some don't. We're glad you like it.
Amen.
You may not like me when I preach this message. But may the Lord bless you. We've had a good time this week.
Amen.
I told Brother Kenty, I'm just amazed at him on this fast. I've been quoting to him that scripture, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so we've got tonight, tomorrow night, then Sunday night. I'm going to let you know a little secret. Sunday morning, I'm going to give my testimony. It's on the record back there, my testimony. I'm going to tell you why the scar on my face. I'm going to tell you how this brought about my conversion, and call to the ministry. And so, you come Sunday morning. Bring somebody with you.
Amen.
I'll never give my testimony, but I don't see somebody saved. Now, I don't depend upon the testimony, but I depend upon the power of God.
Amen.
The grace of the Lord and the blood of Christ to wash away the sins of man. But you be in prayer for these last few services tonight,
amen,
tomorrow night, and then Sunday night. If you have your Bibles tonight, you turn with us to Acts, the 16th chapter. And we'll begin reading with verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they're saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. He fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
Amen.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, you know, in his great way. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Here's a story of two great, mighty men of God. One with the name of Paul the Apostle, and the other with the name of Silas. We've always thought in terms that Paul was the preacher, Silas was the saint. And they were thrown into prison for the presentation of the proclamation of the gospel in which they gave And while they were there in prison, this Philippian jailer guarded these men of God. And the scripture said that they prayed and sang praise.
Amen.
Until midnight to the Lord. And at midnight, something happened. An earthquake came. The lock was broken. The prison door was open. And this Philippian jailer, all probability, for the first time in his life, came to the realization that he was lost. And he cried out to these men of God, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Join the Baptist church, and thou shalt be saved." "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Be baptized, and thou shalt." "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Treat your neighbor right, do good works, and thou shalt." Did you say that?
No.
You know, I may ought to have my glasses changed.
Amen.
"Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now this is what it says. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
Now, have you ever noticed the next three words? "And thy house." And you notice, after he was saved and the household was saved, then they were baptized. And they rejoiced in the Lord. Why? Because they believed in God with all their heart. And as we preach to you tonight on the real thing, and we know there are a lot of fads in this world, but beloved, the real thing tonight is salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
There are four truths I'd like to bring for your thing. First of all, realization. Secondly, repentance. Thirdly, confession. Fourthly, belief. I'd like for us to think a few moments about the word realization. You know, you'll never be saved until you get lost. You've got to get lost before you get saved. The reason many a man in San Antonio tonight is going to hell is because he's never come to the place that he realizes, that he really realizes, that he's lost, and that if he were to die, he'd die and go to hell. I believe if every man in your city, if every woman in your city could come to the realization and realize they're lost, that realize if they were to die this very moment and go to hell, I believe they do something about it.
Amen.
You've got to get lost before you get saved. You've got to realize you're a sinner. Someone has said there are two kinds. A sinner lost on the road to hell, or a sinner saved on the road to heaven. I heard it interpreted this way some time ago. You're either a sinner lost on the road to hell, or you're either a saint saved on the road to heaven. I kind of like that.
Amen.
Amen.
But you need to realize that you're a sinner. And you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us tonight are sinners. If you would acknowledge it, you are a sinner. If I would acknowledge, I am a sinner. And I'm going to prove tonight that every one of you have sinned, if you'll be honest with me. How many of you here tonight have stolen anything? You know, I remember one time when I was a boy, I slipped over in the neighbor's watermelon. I stole their water. And then I had to preach that dear soul's funeral here a while back. And I'll tell you, my conscience kind of hurt because I remember that watermelon that I stole from my neighbor. How many of you ever stole anything? Hold up your hand. All right. Thank you very much. How many of you ever told a lie? Wait just a minute, please. Oh, my. I see one man back there with two hands up. You know, I don't believe in white lies, little lies, black lies, white lies. I believe a lie is a lie, don't you?
Amen.
A lie is a lie. How many of you ever told a lie? Hold up your hand. If you didn't hold up your hand, you're the biggest liar in the house. You know, it's my distinct privilege tonight to preach to the biggest bunch of liars and thieves. I've had the opportunity to preach to in a long time. I tell you, I feel comfortable in your company. I would ask you, how many of you ever got drunk? But some time ago, I was in a church, and I called the name of the church. I'm not going to do it. But there was a man there already drunk, so I'm not going to say anything. But it just proves to you one thing, that you're a sinner. You've sinned. We've all sinned against the Lord. The scripture said there is none righteous, no, not one. The scripture said we have all sinned against the Lord. The scripture said there is not a righteous man upon the face of the earth, because we're wicked in nature. We're wicked. This old flesh is so fleshly and wicked. And only by the grace of God and the Spirit of God can we overcome. Now you'll notice these men of God, they were praying there in that prison. And this Philippian jailer was guarding these men. Some time ago I was in a meeting with a man who had just received his PhD. He was a doctor and he was smart. And I mentioned that the Philippian jailer was walking up and down the hallway of the prison. And after a while I said, the Philippian jailer awakened out of his sleep when he came to the realization of his lost. And so after the meeting was over, the doctor took it upon himself to correct my theology. I'm not a theologian. I'm just an evangelist. You know what a theologian is, don't you? That's a man that will tell you something you already know in a way you can't understand it after you get to
speak. Amen.
And so he came to me and he said, Brother Vesto, I would like to correct your theology. And I said, sir, all right. Thank you. What is it? He said, you had that Philippian jailer walking up and down the hallway of that prison. And after a while, when the earthquake came, he was awakened out of his sleep. Well, I said, doctor, that's easy to interpret. He said, what do you mean? I said, he's just walking in his sleep. You know, there are a lot of people like that, aren't they? They're just walking around in their sleep. You ever see a woman drive an automobile? I won't tell you, I'll take up for you tonight because you have a better record than men. Did you know that? The women did. Right? And you ought to get an amen out of some of these. But he awakened out of his sleep and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the house. I believe when he was converted, all of the household.
Amen.
We've been talking, Brother Taylor and Brother Kentead and I have had some wonderful fellowship this week. Reminiscing and reviewing spiritual blessings we have had. In the state of Oklahoma, it hasn't been too long ago, the rain was falling. The pastor, the singer who had worked with me at that time, went out in the field and we were in a house that had a tin roof. And we went into that home, and there was an Indian man, an Indian woman, and the whole family. And the babies were crying. And God gave us the privilege. And after a while, I took the baby, held the baby, and the baby stopped crying. And as the rain was falling, it seemed like that God was weeping over that house. And we started giving that family the plants. And I never shall forget the humbleness of that dear man as we got out on our knees together. And he gave his heart, and then the mother gave her heart. And it was a chain reaction. Each one of the children gave their hearts to him, and there were five conversions. And they came that night and made a public profession of their faith openly, telling the world that they had received Jesus. And then the following Sunday night, they were baptized. Oh, my friend, sometimes when the dad or the mother, which I've said before, I say again, or the son or the daughter, yet saved, others in the household will be converted.
Amen.
And I believe that's what happened here. This Philippian jailer found Christ, and then others that were kin to him found Christ. They realized, he especially, realized in that prison that he needed God. Secondly, repentance. I can't say much more than what I said the other night on repentance as I tried to preach on repentance. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible said, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I repeat, repentance is a change of mind which brings about a new heart. And there must be a willingness on the part of the lost sinner to repent of their sin.
Amen.
And turn from their sin and turn to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thirdly, there is the need of confession. You know the reason that I give an invitation every night in a revival? To give people the opportunity to confess their sin before men. Now I'm not saying that you come down here and just publicly confess your sin audibly to everyone else. But first of all, I would say confess your sin to God.
Amen.
And then when you do that, you are showing to the world that you are confessing your sin to Jesus Christ. You know, I love my friends, and I do have friends. I know I have my enemies, but I have friends. And I love my family. I have loved ones back home. other places. If they were to come here tonight, I would confess to my loved ones or my friends. But you know, the greatest friend I've ever had is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because when I was lost, he saved. When I was doomed for hell, he helped me to escape because I trusted him. And I never shall forget the night that I walked down to the altar of that church and confessed my sin to God and confessed my sins publicly, openly to others. I didn't go around just saying, now, I've committed this sin or that sin, but I did in my heart confess God is my Redeemer, Christ is my Savior, and I confess my sin and my sins, and the Lord forgave. You know what the Bible says? In John 6:37, Jesus speaking, to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
I believe any sinner tonight that is willing to realize he's a sinner and repent of his sin and confess his sin and confess Christ, I believe the Lord will receive.
Amen.
For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And then we find that Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. In other words, if you confess Christ, he will confess you. If you deny the Lord, he will deny you. And then this scripture, which is so wonderful, in Romans 10, beginning with verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
Amen.
M-O-U-T-H, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart, H-E-A-R-T, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, on Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I don't believe that God would turn anyone down tonight if they would just be willing to say, Lord, here I am a sinner. I want to call upon you.
Amen.
I believe the Lord will receive.
Amen.
And then lastly, believe and trust. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There was a story of a great preacher by the name of Dr. Hamilton, an Englishman, coming over from England to the United States by ship to accept the Moody Bible Church in Chicago 7 years ago. And on the voyage, the ship had a wreck. And everyone on the ship was rescued except two men. And one of these men was Dr. Hamilton, and the other was a lost man. And they only had one life belt left between. And Dr. Hamilton, in his English accent and in his graciousness, said, sir, are you a Christian? And the man replied, no. And Dr. Hamilton said, I am a Christian. I've received Christ in my heart. I've been converted. I've tried to live like a Christian. Now, I'll die like a Christian. My dear man, I want you to have a life belt. And as the lost man took the life belt, Dr. Hamilton quoted this verse, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And over and over he quoted that verse until his voice had become so faint and his body so weak that he could quote it no longer. And the story went ahead to reveal that Dr. Hamilton went down to his watery grave, and another ship came along and rescued the lost man. They gave him food and clothing and shelter for his body. But those words flashed before his eyes. They rung within his ears. They pondered within his heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And ultimately, that man fell upon his knees. He said, Lord, I do believe.
Amen.
I confess God my sin.
Amen.
I trust you as my Savior. And he was gloriously saved. I've stood more than 18,000 times trying to preach. Sometimes I get tired and weary of it. But I believe if I had one last message, I don't believe it could be a greater text than this.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Believe, believe, believe. I'd like for every head to be bowed. Every eye to be closed. Everyone prayerfully lifting your heart to God. How many of you can say tonight, preacher, I know I have believed, and I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior tonight. Would you lift your hand real high? Just keep them lifted up. Just keep them lifted up. God bless you. Could there be a one here tonight that couldn't lift your hand? And you would say right now, Brother Pastor, Brother Ken Cave, Brother Taylor, Brother Evangelist, Brother Vestal, I know I need to believe tonight. And I want to believe. And I want to trust the Lord is my Savior. And I'm willing to confess God is my Redeemer. Christ, my Lord, confess my sin to him. He'll come in your heart. Could there be a one like that? Religion has saved by your lifted hand. Pray for me. Anyone? You have believed tonight. You have trusted the Lord. But there is a need for your life. There is a need for your heart. A need that needs to be supplied for you. A victory that you need in your life. You lift your hand and say, I want you to share with me. I want you to come to pray. God will give you this victory. You lift your hand. God bless you. So many are lifting their hands. Are there others? God bless you. Our Father tonight, we thank you for God, for Christ, for the Holy Spirit, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering tonight in Jesus. We thank you for the presence of God right in heaven. Oh, Lord, we may not have a house full of lost people, but thank you that we have many saved.
Amen.
And for those who lifted their hands that have a need, and for those who didn't lift their hands, but they feel in their heart they have a need tonight, may they just get up from where they're sitting and come down here to this altar for a moment of prayer. And we'll give you the praise. And may they have their burdens lifted and their sins forgiven. And may victory come to their heart. While everyone is praying, some of you lift your hands that you have a need. While Brother Jim sings it through one time, would you just get up from where you're sitting? Come down here to this altar for a moment of prayer. Just come right on tonight. Come right on. God bless you. God bless these that come. Anyone else?